I like that. I've got a little cheer. Well done, and welcome to our service this morning. It's good to see you here. It's good, too, that if anyone is joining us online, that they're welcome to join with us and to come into God's presence with us this morning. So that's good. And we just want to take time to do that. Let's pray as we already have worship, but as we come into worship God together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your unfailing love that we have already sung about. And Lord, we know that you are here with us this morning. You are here with us as individuals. And Lord, you are asking to be welcome in our hearts. And Father, you are here with us as a fellowship joined together, as a big family. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of your presence. And we pray that it would be a real blessing to those who are gathered together. Father, we pray that you would guide us through the words that Nathan will bring later. And Lord, that you would speak to us through your word, through God's word. And that we would hear from you and we would act upon it. Amen. I do want to read a little bit from one of the tiny letters at the back of the Bible. This is 1 John 1, and just a few verses right from the beginning of the chapter. 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. So we must walk in the light together. We must worship God together. And Nathan's going to speak later on who is Jesus to you. And Peter answers that question in the most appropriate way. And it's important that we think that we know who Jesus is to us and we have him in our hearts. But as we do that, we're going to praise him and worship him for who he is. The second part of our first song says, one day every knee will bow. And it's a treasure to choose Jesus right now in our lives. Come, now is the time to worship. Let's stand if you're able and sing together.
Just
Our next song repeats that question in a slightly different way, and is the response really, I am who you say I am. Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? Child of a great God, and this next song really says that to him. And this is the declaration really that Peter makes in the passage Nathan's looking at. You are the sovereign I am, your name is holy.
Your name is
thank you. Do take your seats for a moment. Let's just pray together, shall we, as we've sung, Your name is holy. Father, you are the Holy One. Lord, you are everything to us. And we want to give you our worship and our praise this morning. And Lord, we pray it would be a blessing to your name. Amen. Now I have to ask a very important question, not quite as important as the one that Jesus asks his disciples, but is there anyone who has, waving over here, okay, so I've got a serious birthday, okay, so Emily, I don't know if you're welcome to come up if you want to, but if you just, we're just saying happy birthday if you don't want to come up, and you can always have a little look later on if you would like to come up. Are there any smaller birthdays than Emily Cowan? No small ones. Well, let's sing happy birthday anyway. I'm sure amongst the adults there are some anniversaries and birthdays, so we'll sing happy birthday and wish a blessing on all who are celebrating or who have celebrated. So let's sing happy birthdays to Emily, shall we? Happy birthday to you. Well done. Trying to shrink as small as she can. Well, there's several things up here if you, should you wish to come and choose something. Let's pray for our children and young people, and then we'll let them go off to their groups, a mass exodus that takes place. We do miss you when you go. We really do miss you because it looks a lot emptier without you. So let's pray for our children and youth groups. Father God, we want you to be with the children and young people this morning. Lord, pray for their leaders and ask that you would bless them with clear words and explanation. And Father, we do thank you for all of the groups that take place. Lord, we thank you for Creche, and we thank you for Ignite 1 and 2 and Way 1 and 2. And Lord, we pray that you would be in whatever they're learning about this morning, that your clear voice would be heard and that their young lives would be directed towards you. And we do thank you for them. Lord, we thank you for their sharing the first bit of this service and then coming back later. Lord, we thank you so much for our children and young people. Amen. And while the children and young people are going out, we'll sing You Are the Rock on Which I Stand. And I think it makes it easier for them to get out if we stand up as well. So let's sing this together.
Strengthened by your mighty hand.
Let's remain standing for a moment and quieten our hearts, but remain in an attitude of worship, and we'll sing another hymn before we come to our prayers together. And this one really sums up all of the things that we will bring to God in prayer. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. Do take your seats, and as we have declared, no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. And that's the attitude that we need to take into our prayers and pray before him now. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can bring everything to you. Lord, when our hearts are feeling that darkness, fearing those schemes of man, fearing the pull of Satan on our lives, Father, we know that we can come to you. And Lord, we thank you that your light is everlasting. As we read first, in him there is no darkness. And Father God, we thank you for that light that you shine into our lives. And Lord, we do pray that as we have found the answer to that question, who is Jesus to you, that you will hear our prayers. And Lord, we know that we have your salvation. Father, we have your salvation for our illness and for our grief. And Father, for all those things that would pull us away from you. Father, we just want to, in the quietness, bring them to you and leave them at the foot of the cross. God, you are almighty, omniscient, and so wonderful. Lord, we bring everything to you. Father, we pray for those in the congregation who need a touch from you this morning. Lord, we ask with our whole heart that your Spirit would be in abundance in their lives. Lord, we pray that you would be with Kay's niece and her family, rather, Lord, that have been left behind so cruelly. Father, we do pray that you would be with those who are watching online, Lord, because they can't get here and would really like to share. Father, we pray for the many members of our church and congregation who are unable to come and join us. Lord, we ask that you would be a special blessing to them this morning. And Father, we do pray for those who have illness or problems within their lives. Lord, we ask that you would be the blessing that they need. And Father, we commit to that we would pray for those people who need a touch from you. We commit to pray for them day after day and to bring them before you and to be the good neighbor. So Father, we bring them to you now. And Lord, we know that there are many situations far wider around the world that need our prayers too. And we commit to pray for those things. And Lord, we pray for those around the world who are currently mourning the loss of family members. Lord, we know that people have lost homes and families and businesses and so many other things in all of the places where war is taking place. We cannot imagine what that must feel like. But Lord, we pray for those who feel all alone. So Lord, hear our prayer. And Lord, where we can, we ask that you would help us to be the answer. That we can be your hands on this earth and serve you in ministry. Amen. I'm just going to hand straight over to Nathan and let him bring God's word to us this morning. Thank
you. Good morning, church. Good morning. So good to see each and every one of you here this morning. Greetings to you all. And for those who are watching online, we greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's good to be in church, isn't it? It's good to be in church. Let's just have a brief word of prayer and get right into the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for worship, Lord, and the opportunity to sing praises to your name. Lord, we join in with the songwriter and say, Lord, there is none like you. Lord, we could search for all eternity and still we would find that there is no one that even comes close to you. And Lord, you are the center of attraction. Lord, we've come here this morning, although we're here together as one body, but we recognize, Lord, that our worship is for an audience of one. And we want you to be pleased with our worship as we continue to give our lives to you. And Lord, as we come now to feast on thy holy word, we pray, Lord, that you would just open our eyes and our hearts that we may receive from you today. I pray that you would anoint me afresh as your servant. Give me the boldness and the utterance to speak, to make known the mystery of your gospel. And when it's all said and done, we'll be careful to give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise, because it all belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to get right into the word of the Lord, and we're starting a new sermon series this morning, which is going to take us through the rest of the month of February. And we're looking at the subject this month of tough questions or soul-searching questions that Jesus asked. So we're looking at some of the questions in the Bible, not from humanity to God, because we have a lot of questions to God, but this time we're looking at what happens when God has a question for us. What happens when the divine wants to ask us, his creation, a question? And before I read the scripture this morning, I just want to make a very brief theological point, just so we're on the same page. Whenever we see in the Bible God asking humanity a question, it is not because God doesn't know the answer. God doesn't need any help from us in terms of knowing the answer to the question. But what you'll see throughout this month is that God would often ask questions to people, not because he wanted to know the answer, but because he wanted to try and help them answer the question for themselves. Because God is omniscient. He knows all things. So this morning we're looking, as Bev has introduced already, at Peter's response to the question from Jesus. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 20. And it reads like this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea of Philippi, he asked his disciples, here's the first question. Who do people say the Son of Man is? What is the word on the street? And they replied, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But then here comes the second question, and the question that we're going to focus on this morning, verse 15. But what about you? What about you? Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. I want to read a few verses of this same passage, this time from the Message paraphrase. And it reads like this. In verse 14, they replied, some think he is John the Baptizer, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah or the other prophets. But then he pressed them. He pressed them. How about you? Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Who is Jesus to you? Friends, the situation before us this morning, this conversation and subsequent Q&A session between Jesus and his disciples would bring to the table perhaps one of the most important questions ever known to humanity. In fact, I would go as far to say personally that the question before us this morning of who do you say that I am? I believe this question is the most important question we could ever attempt to answer. Because the question before us from Jesus to his disciples, it does not just have ramifications for the here and the now in this lifetime, but the question concerning Jesus, his position, his authority, and his identity, it carries weight that has eternal value. Eternal value. I mean, of all the questions that you and I could answer correctly in this life, whether it's passing those GCSEs or the O-levels back in the day, or whether it's choosing the right spouse or determining where to live or what career path to go down, all of us throughout our lives we're posed with difficult and challenging questions and also decisions that we have to make on a daily basis. But friends, make no mistakes about it. The question before us this morning, the very question that Jesus poses to his disciples, is a question of the utmost importance. Who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus Christ to you? And this is not a question that we can just avoid answering. Yes, we can exercise our human free will and abstain from answering for a season. But whether it's now or later, the Bible lets us know that every knee will have to bow. And every tongue will have to confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord. And it's better, as we know, to come to that knowledge of Jesus while the grace of God is afforded to us, rather than wait until it's too late. Because every single one of us will have to answer this question from Jesus: who do you say that I am? However, before Jesus would direct the question to his inner circle, to his disciples, Jesus used a warm-up question to gauge the opinions of those in the region of Caesarea of Philippi. This region that had been blighted by pagan idol worship, inspired by Greek and Roman culture. And even further afield, there were various different beliefs and religious practices in Jesus' day. So Jesus poses the question to his disciples about those in the region. He says, what is the popular opinion about my identity? Who do people say that I am? And the response from his inner circle, the disciples would report back to Jesus, and they say to Jesus, and it's what I'd like to call a classic case of mistaken identity. Because the popular opinion, the word on the street was that Jesus was possibly a reincarnation of John the Baptist, his cousin. Or, even still, Elijah the prophet in the Old Testament. And some were saying that no, it wasn't John, it wasn't Elijah, but maybe it was Jeremiah, the old weeping prophet in the Old Testament, while others were saying in the region that maybe it was one of the other prophets. It was a case of mistaken identity. It's just like, friends, the story of a Sunday school teacher who was preparing her primary school class within the church to stay in the main service for the very first time. And a week before the big day, she lovingly yet firmly warned the class to ensure that they would be on their best behavior on that particular service. However, during the sermon from the priest, there was one little boy who was sitting on the front row, messing around with his Bible. So the teacher, who was sitting two rows behind the young lad, she got the attention of another young boy sitting in front of her. And she whispered into his ear and said, "Go and speak to the young lad on the front row. Let him know that he's done more than enough talking and he needs to stop right now." However, the boy that was asked to deliver the message, he got the message right, but he delivered the message to the wrong person. And instead of telling the misbehaving young lad on the front row, he marched up to the priest and told the priest that you've done more than enough talking and you need to stop right now. Now, please don't go getting any ideas. But friends, in a real sense, in like manner, even today, many around the world, in our country, in our society, they have opinions of Jesus, that they have positions that they hold concerning his identity. And the sad reality is that many even today view Jesus through the wrong lenses. Just like the word on the street in Caesarea of Philippi, many today answer the question and say, perhaps Jesus was a good man. He was a good teacher. He made wonderful contributions to the world and to Christian thought and practice. While others on the opposite side of the fence, they may suggest that Jesus was nothing but a mere figment of a gullible imagination. Some may even doubt his miraculous birth and existence all together. And as the Church of the Lord Jesus in today's context, church, we must be aware and also prepared for the opinions of those in our society and community. You see, although that the first question from Jesus of who do people say that I am, although Jesus had a more pressing question to ask his disciples, the first question was significant. Jesus was interested in the views and the thoughts of those he was trying to reach. And church, can I suggest to us this morning that as we continue to reach out to the local community of Sittingbourne and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ, please understand that we may not always understand or even like the response from those who we are trying to reach. They may call Jesus a fake. They may call him just a good teacher without any divine power. They may call him just a prophet like some of the other world religions. But our role as Christians is to keep on sharing the truth and, more importantly, keep on living our lives in the way that Christ has taught us. and continue to pray for those in our community, that the scales will fall from their eyes. And those who doubt him, those who do not believe in him, that one day they will see Jesus for themselves as the true Messiah. That they will come to their own confession of faith and say, I know him to be the light of the world. Amen. God in flesh, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the omnipotent one, the King of kings and the Lord of lords.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But not only, church, do we see a case of mistaken identity. Oh, he's Elijah. Oh, he's Jeremiah. Oh, he's John the Baptist. And we see that even today. People, they mistake the identity of Jesus. But number two, we also see here, number two, we see that there are no piggybacks allowed. Can we say no piggybacks allowed? In verse 15, Jesus moves on from the first question, and in verse 15, he asks the other question. But what about you? Yes, we've heard from the people in the streets, but what about you? Jesus here is no longer interested in the question of who do people say that I am? But now Jesus addresses the disciples on a more personal basis. Jesus here, he moves from the popular opinion to the individual. He moves from the collective to the personal. Jesus is no longer interested in the democratic polls in Caesarea or Philippi. He's no longer concerned about the word on the street. But he says, disciples, core team, the chosen ones, the ones whom I have called to follow me, I have a question for you, team. Who do you say that I am? You who have been called to follow me, you who have witnessed my miracles, my signs and my wonders, you who have heard my teachings and my sermon on the mount, what do you have to say about my identity? What say you concern the Son of Man? I remember a few years ago, several years ago, a school friend of mine started working in a local gym in the Lewisham area. And as part of his package of employment, he was afforded an exclusive pass to permit up to three individuals to come and work out in the gym and enjoy the spa free of charge. They could have full access to the gym and the spa and all of the other benefits afforded to a paying customer. But the access, church, was solely dependent upon my connection to my friend. But as soon as my friend moved on from working at that local gym, my free access was revoked. And now I needed to sign up like everyone else. And friends, such is the case right here with the motive of the Lord's question. Because it's not enough to regurgitate the same faith of another person. But each and every one of us has to come to our own personal conviction and response to who Jesus really is. You see, sometimes people make the mistake and think it's possible to be a Christian and a born-again believer through piggybacking on someone else's faith. In other words, I'm a Christian because my parents are Christians. I'm a Christian because I used to sing hymns in school. I'm a Christian because my grandparents, they used to pray for me. I'm a Christian because I was raised and taught that the United Kingdom is a Christian country. Friends, all of these things are wonderful and great, but the reality is our faith and our salvation is not based on the testimonies of other people. We can't just jump on someone else's back and just hold on to the thoughts of yesterday and say that we too are sons and daughters of God. But each and every one of us, in the words of the old hymn writer, we have to stand before God for ourselves. Getting a bit of feedback there at the back there, Peter. We have to stand before God for ourselves. And we have to boldly declare, in the words of the old hymn, "It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother or my father, my brother or my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer." Another hymn writer puts it this way: "I come, not us, but I come to the garden alone. While the dew is still on the roses and the voice that I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own." That's why, church, whenever we baptize someone right here in this church, in this pool, we do so and we baptize them at their own request, based upon their own individual confession of faith in the Lord Jesus. If someone wanted to be baptized and they said, "I want to be baptized because my mom said I should," that is not enough. But each one has to come to their own understanding of Jesus for themselves. So who do you say that I am? And my challenge to you in your notes, as you'll see, is that public opinion may be useful for many things in this life, but Jesus Christ is more interested in our own individual response to his good news. How we live our lives each day offers a witness to the love of God through Jesus Christ. So number one, we see a case of mistaken identity. Some believe Jesus to be someone else. Number two, we see that no piggybacks are allowed. Jesus wanted the response from their own individual hearts rather than the public opinion. But finally this morning, my two closing points, the resolution and the celebration, before we close. The last two points I want to leave you with this morning. Nathan, if no piggybacks are allowed to gain access into the kingdom, then what is the resolution of the matter? Here it is. We need more than human intellect to answer the question. Can we say that together? We need more, yes, to answer the question. There's an old saying that you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make the horse drink the water. And friends, in like manner, education is great and important, but human intellect alone is insufficient. When it comes to understanding the spiritual truths of God's kingdom, education alone is insufficient. You see, Jesus understood here in verse 16 and 17 that Peter's response to the question that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus understood that Peter's answer was not based upon his own wisdom, his own intellect, his own education. But look what Jesus says here. Blessed are you, Son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Friends, can I tell each and every one of you this morning, those of you who are Christians, bear with me. Is that better? Peter, if you just
come in a bit off night and it's just not back on again. I don't know why.
If you just cut it off, my voice is loud enough. If you just turn off the mic, that's it. Is that better, church?
Yes.
I do apologize. Peter's response lets us know that education is not enough. Jesus says, my Father in heaven, he revealed this to you. And friends, that is so important for us to understand, because every single one of us here this morning who are born again believers in the Lord Jesus, yes, someone else may have played a part in inviting you to church, or sharing a home Bible study with you, or going on an alpha course with other people. Yes, God can use other people to bring you to the place where you can receive the good news. But please understand, whenever our eyes are opened to the kingdom of God, it is not the result of our own wisdom and understanding. It is not because of the eloquence of the Bible teacher that was teaching you the word of God. It's not the result of a minister who can break down the word of God, although that is helpful. But more importantly, it is the work of God through his Holy Spirit who opens your heart and your eyes to an understanding of his word. The Holy Spirit, the role of God's Spirit, it activates our senses, it activates our hearts so that we can receive from him. And friends, as I draw this sermon to a close, as we continue to share the word of God with other people in our community, we should not just pray for good evangelism tactics, for wonderful tracts, for great technology, but more importantly, we need to pray for the work of the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of those who do not believe.
Amen.
Jesus says, my Father in heaven, he has revealed this to you. We need the work of the Holy Spirit as a church to propel us to go out and do his work, to share the love of God, so that when people see us, they don't just see a good representative of Jesus Christ, but when they see us, they see the anointing of God, the power of God at work in our lives. That they would respond like the men in John chapter 4, that when the woman at the well ran and left her water pots and went back to the town saying, "Come see a man, which told me all things ever that I did. Is this not the Christ?" Men followed her. They heard her testimony. And they heard what Jesus had to say. And the Bible lets us know that their response was, "Now we believe not based upon the woman's testimony, but now we believe because we have heard Jesus speak for ourselves." God wants to open our understanding so that we can answer the question for ourselves that Jesus is the Christ. And then finally, the celebration. In response to the question, "Peter, this is what is going to happen because of your response. I am going to build my church." And here's the good news. Nothing will be able to stand or stop or prevent the building of my church. Not even the gates of hell. Nothing is going to get in the way of my church being built for my glory. Why? Because you understand through my Father's revelation that I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
I want to close with a call this morning. And the first call is for us to ensure that we ourselves have truly answered the question, who is Jesus Christ to you? All of us will have to answer the question. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. But while there is time, as Jesus says, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. For the night comes when no one can work." We are blessed this morning to be in the dispensation of grace. And the call from Jesus is simply come. If there's someone here today that wants to answer the question, just like Peter, to say, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." The Holy Spirit wants you to answer that question today. But second, my second call is for the church. Because the question is not just for those who do not believe, but the question is also for those who do believe. Who is Jesus to you? Could it be that we've slipped some way into a state of just piggybacking off of someone else's faith? Could it be that Jesus is saying, "I want to get you back to the place where I can minister to you individually"? When is the last time that you've been drawn personally into his presence? But when is the last time that you just sat at the feet of Jesus for yourself? When is the last time that you just got lost in Bible study, searching the wondrous scriptures of truth for yourself? When is the last time that you were able just to spend time in prayer for yourself, enjoying the presence of God? My second call this morning, who is Jesus for you? Who is Jesus even for the church? Because the world is looking for a witness. But if we, the church, have a case of mistaken identity, then when they see us, they will be mistaken to believe that this is what Jesus is all about. So we've got to ensure that we model the true nature of Christ, the true person of Christ, his way, his love, how we treat people, how we're kind and patient with one another, how we are forgiving. This is how we continue to answer the question of you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So I'm going to pray now, and if there's anyone here this morning that has not yet made that decision for yourself, who is Jesus to you? Then I pray today that your response will be, you are the Christ, and I want to live for you. And secondly, if you are a Christian, perhaps the call this morning is for you to rededicate your life to him, to recommit yourself to him, to continue to walk in his way and in his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that the question continues to go out from generation to generation. Who do people say that I am? And who do you say that I am? Lord, we thank you that through your grace and through your mercy, you are continuing through your Holy Spirit to prompt us, to guide us, to get our attentions so that we will not have a case of mistaken identity, so that we can come to the full knowledge of who Jesus Christ is for ourselves. Lord, just like through this sermon and through the sound issues, there can be distractions in our lives that wants to deter us from answering the question. There can be distractions and vices from the devil and from the enemy to keep us away from answering the question correctly. But I pray this morning that for whosoever this morning needs to answer the question, that through your Holy Spirit, that you would open their eyes now, that they may boldly declare, just like Peter, that you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Amen. Open our eyes now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there one here this morning that wants to open their hearts to him? I would love to pray for you, and after the service, talk more with you about the love of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want you to be afraid of anyone here today, because all of us at some point in our lives, we had to answer and respond to the question for ourselves. So if you're here today and you want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to be bold and just raise your hand in faith and say, Nathan, I want to serve and I want to follow the way of Christ. Is there one here this morning that wants to follow the way of Jesus Christ? Would there be one? Is there someone here today who is a believer but's not yet baptized by full immersion? Perhaps you wanna complete and honor the scriptures and be baptized according to his word. If you want to be baptized, please do raise your hand if you want to be baptized at this time. Well, amen. Well, we thank God. The call has gone out. Is there one?
There's one here.
I went upstairs. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Please do see me after the service and we'll have a chat. God bless you. Thank you for your boldness and for your courage. The Lord is speaking. And please know it's not me, it's not my words, but it's the Holy Spirit at work that has drawn you to answer the question. Let's thank God for these two. As the worship team come back, they're going to close us out in song.
I'll call the local conference.
we're going to close out with a song which sums that up, that Christ is the cornerstone of our faith. So let's stand and sing this together. My hope is built on nothing less. We acknowledge that you are Lord of all, and by your mercy and your grace, you accept us and give us salvation. Father, we do pray that you would continue to work in all of our hearts. Lord, where we need a kick
then give us a kick, Lord. And if we need a gentle touch from your hand, then we pray that it would be a gentle hand on the shoulder, Lord, that would bring us in and comfort us. So, Father, we pray that you would give us what we need and in good time, in your timing. And, Father, we do thank you for those who have been convinced by the Holy Spirit this morning, and, Lord, that want to change their standing with you and maybe answer that question in a different way from now onwards. Father, we pray that you would have your arm around them, that you would protect them, and that they would be blessed by a village who will bring them into your knowledge and your understanding. And Lord, we give ourselves to be that village. And Lord, we pray that we would be a good fellowship and good family members as we bring new people into your kingdom. So Father, be with us now as we leave, we pray. And we know that your grace goes with us. Amen. Amen. Please do stay for teas and coffees. There's loads of information in your sermon notes this week, so do read them. God bless you. I will need them. I will need them.